Welcome to another episode of The Guild Life, the official podcast for Guild Launch. This is Mike speaking, and I've got Slater with me. What's up, dude?
Not a whole lot. How you doing?
I've been good. Busy. It's been a busy year so far.
Yeah, it has.
And so we'll talk a little bit about that, but let's start how we normally start. What are we playing?
Well, first of all, there's Swatter.
There is Swatter.
I'm still digging it.
Yeah. You have any max level characters yet?
No, but I have about 1,000 alts. I can't stop. It's an addiction.
Yeah.
How about you?
I actually canceled my subscription, I want to say beginning of January, because it wouldn't play on my laptop.
Okay. Could you find the cancel button?
I did have a cancel button. I had no problems with that. So my laptop, you know, it's a bit old, and I bought a new computer, a new desktop, and it was easy as Dell. And remember when they had that campaign?
No.
Are you serious? We'll get into that later. So it's a Dell, and I got it, I want to say, 2 weekends ago, and it's fantastic. It plays Swatter, it plays everything, and I'm happy again, so I've been playing it again. So, short answer long, no, I do not have any max level characters.
But you're enjoying it.
I am, I'm re-enjoying it. And on the new computer, I've been playing some more League of Legends. I've got everything maxed out setting-wise. I did them on the laptop anyway, and it ran just fine, so it's not anything new. But just expressing my love for League of Legends.
Yes, yes, we get it.
So what about you?
Well, as far as MMOs go, I'm mostly just playing Swatter and Minecraft.
Okay.
You were telling me about another one the other day, though, weren't you?
Yeah, so I want to say a new game because they're going to launch soon, but the game's been around for quite a while now. It's Wakfu, and it's being published by Square Enix. And it's a neat little game. It's isometric. It kind of looks a little bit like Final Fantasy Tactics.
Okay.
And the combat is done where, like, your actions have a certain number of points they take. And it looks like a tactical game, like Final Fantasy Tactics. You move on a battlefield, and then you take your actions, and then it's the opponent's turn. But what I like about it is some of even like the beginning actions you can take are like an enemy knockback. So you can move a square forward, knock a guy back, and then possibly move out of position so they can't get within range to hit you anymore.
Okay.
So it's neat because it's, like I said, it's like Final Fantasy Tactics, where it's that turn-based, where most MMOs are running around and you have to do things, you know, when your cooldown's over. And,
right.
But I haven't gotten very far yet. I just started checking it out, and it's a fun game.
So, very cool.
I'm playing a hippie.
I'm not surprised.
My character can summon and control plants.
I'm shocked. Really? I'm not actually shocked.
Yeah, I know. So, So, no MMOs for you.
No. I do have some very good and fun news, though.
Yeah.
I play a lot of just pen and paper games, and I'm a huge fan of Steve Jackson games.
Okay.
And I just got an email the other day confirming that I'm now an MIB. So I get to demo products and get points and otherwise just be awesome.
That's fantastic.
And denied my own existence.
So you're a man in black?
No. I'm not anything. I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you have to be a man, or do you have to wear black to be an MIB?
You do not have to be a man. Or wear black to be an MIB, because the MIB don't exist.
Oh, right. If they existed,
then. But if they were to exist, then no. Okay. They are equal opportunity demo people.
Excellent.
But I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah? So what's the first thing you want to demo?
Shea Geek. I love GURPS, but being able to sit down and yell, "Eat that thing!" for, you know, 4 or 5 hours is gonna be great.
I agree.
Maybe you can actually use it to win this time.
Yeah, that's my goal. For anyone who knows Shea Geek, or doesn't, I guess you should look it up. It's a non-collectible card game, and you win by getting a certain number of points.
Slack points.
Yeah, slack points. And I want to win by playing a card called Eat That Thing, because it annoys one of our mutual friends to death.
He hates that card. Every time we see it.
So I mean, the action to point ratio is kind of crappy, compared to other cards. And that's why I want to win with it, because it's a card that just kind of sucks. But it's fun.
It's not the most optimal card, But you gotta love Eat That Thang.
That's right.
It's with an A. It's not with an I. That's so right. It is, in fact, Eat That Thang.
That's Steve Jackson for you. So speaking of pen and paper games, Slater knows this, so this is more for our listeners. I started running our Pathfinder game. We're in our second session now. Mm-hmm. And I'm running the Pathfinder guys do these things called adventure packs, and it's basically a pre-written adventure in a book that's about 100 pages, and the entire story spans over 6 of these books. So it's an adventure that takes you from 1 to about 17, give or take, and we're doing one called The Second Darkness, I think. That's either the name of the path or the name of this book. I always get them mixed up.
I don't know. All I know is we're in Riddleport, and we were going to the Gold Goblin.
You're at the Gold Goblin working for Saul Van Kaskerkin. That's a name I wouldn't have been able to make up.
Nope. And Steven and I are both players in the campaign. Steven's playing a half-orc barbarian who just wants to go out on a rampage and kill everything.
And he's good at that.
He is. And so I'm playing his half-elf brother. We decided we're going with the Barney Stinson approach to parenting. And I'm playing a rather paranoid cleric who's dedicated entirely to healing and buffing.
And you're good at that?
I am. And then we have a tiefling rogue and a dwarven ranger. Yeah. Because we have one player who plays almost exclusively dwarven rangers.
Yeah, it's weird. Why wouldn't anyone play a dwarf?
Or a ranger.
Or a ranger. So in other news, other gaming news,
yeah.
I inadvertently think I got everyone in the office hooked on this game.
This game is ridiculous. It's... I don't know why it's so much fun. And neither does anyone else at the office. But we're playing Game Dev Story for the iPad. You do the same thing over and over again, which I guess is true for pretty much any game.
Yeah.
But you know the screen that's going to come up. You know the exact results. There's no real risk involved. And I can't put it down.
Yeah, it's addicting. And you're right. I mean, I can't put my finger on it. The game has basically 4 stages. When you make a new game, you pick a story writer. Then you have to pick a graphic artist. You pick a sound guy or girl. Yeah, and then it debugs.
The bugs.
Yeah, and that's it. Over and over and over again. And outside of the choice of which one of your employees do you want to work on this thing, you don't actually do anything. So you don't do a mini game
nope.
to develop something. You don't answer questions. I mean, I guess technically you do. Like, what's the name of the game? What genre? What type?
Although you don't even have to choose the name.
No.
Most of my games are Game 1, Game 17. If I do sequels, I have Game 32-9. the only thing you really choose are what type of game and what genre of game.
Yeah.
So my best-selling games are time travel action RPGs.
Yeah. I guess it's genre and direction. Because the genre is like the first one, I think. And the direction is like which way you want it to go.
Yeah.
And I've done some crazy ones. Like I had a motion-based card game that went bestseller.
Nice.
I had an online RPG presidential game that went really well.
Very cool. I had, I want to say a game company Harbor game or something along those lines. Something just... It didn't even make sense.
Yeah. So, they make a whole bunch of games. And these are for the iOS devices, so iPad, iPod, iPod Touch. And I've seen Game Dev Story on my Android phone.
Nice.
So, you can get it there too. But they make a whole bunch. Game Dev Story is probably the most addicting one I've played. I also have Hot Spring Story, which you make Japanese-based or Japanese-style hot springs. Mm-hmm. And I just recently started playing Mega Mall Story, which is just like old school Sim Tower, which was my favorite sim game. And now I have for the iPad with quote unquote updated graphics. You know, it's iPad-y.
Yeah, they're sprites.
Yeah, but it's fun.
And then I have the one where you can make a school. I forget the name of it.
Yeah,
but it's not bad.
Yeah. So that's what we're playing. You guys get out there and check some of these things out.
So what about what's going on in just the industry as a whole, just gaming industry?
The first one I'm going to bring up is Terra.
Yes.
Terra is a game that I've had my eye on for a while, and they've announced, I want to say, was it this week, maybe Monday, that they were going to do region-based IP blocking. They're going to block Asia, Africa, Russia, and the Middle East from playing the game.
So pretty much half of the entire world.
Everyone that's not America or Europe. I think Europe is included.
In America?
No, I mean, I think they're outside of being blocked.
That makes sense.
I think. But
well, why are they blocking everybody? Or most everybody? Non-Anglo-Saxons.
I think in, they came out and they made a statement why they're doing it, and I think they said something that a lot of companies think. And one thing that I'd like to point out before going into that too much is that this isn't the first game that's done IP-based region blocking. And that is something that I think a lot of people seem to forget on the internet. There's a lot of uproar about it. People cannot believe the decision to do that. And it's all kinds of games. Why do you think, you know, Shaya has four different publishers? Because they're region blocked by one publisher and another publisher has to publish it in different regions. Because they have the license, they know the laws, you know.
Right.
I don't know if that's the case here, but it's certainly not the first game to region block. But they came out and they said they're doing it because the vast majority of traffic from those areas are related to cyber criminals that, you know, do things like account theft, gold farmers, and other hacking-type behavior. Which, if you ask me, if that's where the problem comes from and they're keeping it from happening in my game, that's great.
Yeah. I feel bad for all of the legitimate players in, you know, in Korea, in China, in Africa, who want to actually play the game.
Sure.
But, you know, if all that's true, then I can at least see their logic.
Absolutely.
And coming from someone who's had their WoW account hacked twice, once with an authenticator, I'm not entirely sure how that even happened. But...
And you have to imagine that the company's smart, right? The game's already in Korea, so the fact that they're blocking Asia doesn't mean that Asians can't play it. It just means they won't be able to play the version being published by... in mass entertainment.
Right. They'll be able to play one that's more, I don't want to say appropriate, but one designed for their region.
Yeah, exactly. And I haven't read anything official about that, but you have to guess that that's where they're going. Because, I mean, the article says they're blocking Asia, and it's been in Korea for, what, a year now? A year and a half? So they're clearly, someone's able to play it in Asia somehow.
Yeah.
And so...
So it sounds like they should have phrased it a lot better.
Yeah, probably. But... I don't think it's a bad move. I think maybe the way they announced it was a bad move.
Yeah. I don't think that releasing a game by region is a bad move.
Right.
I think that coming out and saying we're banning Asia because there are a bunch of hackers and cyber criminals might be.
Sure. But the game looks sweet, and I can't wait.
Yep.
I can't wait to play my man Stanek.
Your what?
So the game is a race called Kastanek. I'm assuming that's how it's pronounced. That's how I say it. And when you watch the videos of them, the women are a little over-the-top sexual. Like, you watch a video of a female Kastanek shooting a bow, and she's swaying her hips while doing it. And when she's casting spells, she's, like, belly dancing. Her hips are moving around in circles and her stomach, and she's got her arms in the air. And so I imagine that, you know, the horny male gamers are going to play it. And just like Final Fantasy XI, when we called Mithras Manthras, we're going to call them Manstanix. That's my guess.
Jeez. The servers will be 95%
Manstanix. That's right. But the game looks good. I can't wait.
Cool.
What else?
Well, I've heard a pretty cool rumor that Guild Wars 2 is going to be coming out soon.
Yeah, hopefully. That's the other thing I meant to mention about Terra. God. They have an actual release date now. I cannot believe I forgot to mention that.
Jeez.
So Terra is going to come out on May 1st. That's just 3 months away.
He held up two fingers.
I held up two fingers. And then I was like, no, wait. This is the second month. Two is April. So May 1st. Get out there and pre-order it.
I think, didn't they open up pre-orders and open up the beta?
I don't know about a beta yet. I haven't at least gotten an email about it. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're doing something.
Fair enough. I think that
certainly pre-orders.
I think the pre-orders gets you access to some of their beta tests, and you get to like keep your characters until the actual release date.
Oh, really?
I think
GameStop and I need to have a little conversation then.
Yeah. What?
I pre-ordered GameStop. I didn't get a code for a beta.
Oh, poor baby.
Now I'm a sad guy.
How sad for you?
All right, your turn, jerk.
All right, well, Diablo. I'm getting ahead of myself here. WoW has the first 20 levels you can play for free, and I think pretty recently, last week or so, Rift announced the same thing. So Rift is going free to play for the first 20 levels.
Nice. Is that that looks like it's probably going to work a lot like the World of Warcraft.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about it. I didn't really play a whole lot of Rift.
Yeah.
But
you're lost.
It sounded like a cool game. I just never got around into it.
Yeah, so they announced that 20 levels and more news to come, of course. But I totally interrupted you about Guild Wars 2, didn't I?
Oh, yeah.
So
I spaced out, sorry.
So, Guild Wars 2 is looking good. They just opened up beta for press. So they're...
Do we count as press?
I don't think we do. I got to talk to somebody about that.
Yeah.
So...
We got the badges once, and it's like a drug. You gotta have it.
That's right. So, still don't have an official date on Guild Wars 2, but with beta ramping up, you'd imagine soon.
We can hope.
And our good friend over at Massively, Ruby, has announced today that she is one of the new community managers for Guild Wars 2.
Nice.
So we've lost our friend at Massively.
But we've gained a friend.
We've gained a friend. Yay! Go ArenaNet!
Plus one friend. ArenaNet.
So what else we got?
We've got... you mentioned last podcast that you're thinking Diablo 3 was going to be coming out in the summer?
Yeah.
So with the recent updates and the news there, what are you thinking?
I'm so mad. I was not looking forward to Diablo 3. When they announced it, and I saw it, I was like, oh, wow, look, it's Diablo 2 with better graphics. And they got rid of my favorite class in the world, and I don't care anymore. And then we played it at BlizzCon, and I was like, yes. I was ready to go get the logo tattooed on my face. Like, that's how excited I was about it.
I had to hold him back on that one.
He did. I almost did it, for real.
His wife would have killed me.
So, she would have probably killed me first.
Yeah, but I would have been there, too.
Oh, you should have stopped. So... I said summer, mostly because I was hoping for it. And now they've... Some of the stuff doesn't sound major. Like, they change stats, right? So there's no more... You don't have 6 stats anymore, now it's down to 3.
Okay.
And that's like, oh, cool. That should make it faster, right? Except now they have to re-itemize every item that they've put in the game so far. Like, every one. Because some of them have stats that no longer exist. Some of them will need boosted stats for the ones that do. I mean, any number of things. That's going to take time. They're changing systems around, and they admitted that their rune system isn't done yet. I mean, it's just like more news. Like, this isn't done. We changed this. We added this. We removed that. And it's just like, God. So now, with a tear in my eye, I'm thinking fall.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, me too.
For you, at least.
Yeah.
But hey, at least they're working on it, right? That's a good thing?
That's one way to think of it. I think I'm going to have to go join up with Francis. But to count for 3. So. We love you, Francis. We don't think you listen to us, but we love you anyway.
For those of you who don't know, Francis has his own YouTube channel, and he's outright hilarious.
Make sure you get it right, though, because people, when you look at the YouTube comments, they clearly don't understand. Francis is a made-up character from a guy who has a YouTube channel who's making fun of all the whiners on the internet. Yes.
He is a fictional character. Fictional character.
And we love him. He's great. So we'll put a link to one of his videos on the announcement for the podcast. That'll be at guildlaunch.com/podcast. Guildlaunch.com/podcast.
Yeah, I was about to comment how quick you snapped that out.
Yeah, it's the micro machines, man. That's right. I went back to the 80s for that one.
I don't know what to say.
You don't, because you weren't even alive.
I was alive in the 80s.
All right. The 80s. So, that's what's up in the industry. That's some of what's up in the industry.
Yep. This is not a complete list. This is just a partial list that we have compiled.
Yes. Next.
Next, we got stuff that's actually been happening within Guild Launch. We just finished our second sprint today for development. And we have a lot of fun stuff that we've added. A lot of the stuff is still behind the scenes, performance tweaks and things like that. But the first thing we're going to talk about is being able to host on multi-domain.
Cool. What does that mean?
Well, even though I just phrased it, you can host on multi-domains. You can't actually host on two different domains. But on your guild site, you can switch your domain from Guild Launch to another domain in the Guild Launch network. And I think right now we only have swatterhost.com activated, but as time goes on, we're going to activate more and more domain names for people to use. Like, I think we got Lava Sucks.
Lava Sucks?
Yeah, if you're playing Minecraft.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Lava does suck. So, but how does this work? I mean, what does it do exactly?
Well, all that it does, it changes your URL in your on your guild site. So if you're at, you know, awesomesite.guildlaunch.com, which is my test site, by the way, you can switch it to awesomesite.swatterhost.com.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, yeah, so it's just, if you want a different name, if you want to make it a little more game-specific, that's what we're going for.
That's pretty cool. Can existing sites do that?
Yep, existing sites can do it. All you have to do is go to your admin menu, click the guild site settings link on the left, and it's just like updating your subdomain or your guild name.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Now, it sounds like this might also allow for users with full domain settings to set up subdomains on their full domain now, too?
I believe so, yes.
Awesome. Cool. Well, we'll have some more news on that. Slater's been doing some videos for us. Yeah, maybe we can get him to do an awesome video on how to use the different domains.
Way to put me on the spot here on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll get it out. I'm trying to get out one or two a week as we update features. And I think my next one is going to be on the forums. But I'll see about getting the subdomain stuff out as well.
Yeah, you better, because now we've got people who are going to expect it.
Yeah.
I've thrown my gauntlet.
You're a jerk. He's making me do more work.
All right, so what's next?
The next thing we've got is the affiliate program.
Okay.
When you invite new people to join Guild Launch, you can give them your affiliate link. And you can go to guildlaunch.com/affiliate to do this. And if you give them your link and they set up their own guild site and they put a paid subscription up, then you can get part of that money.
Say what?
I know, it's crazy.
I can make money on a Guild Launch site?
We're just giving money away over here.
Wait, can I do this? Oh.
You don't have any friends.
No, you're right. So
that was mean. I apologize.
Yeah.
Even if it was true.
That's what I get for putting my work on your video plate. So, cool. Affiliates. And you said that was guildlaunch.com/affiliate, not that's pluralized.
Right. Not plural.
Link also on the blog post.
That is correct.
All right. What else we got?
We updated our signatures for WoW and LOTRO.
Okay.
We finally got around to adding the Worgen and the Goblin
images.
And it's just something that had been overlooked for a while. But now if you have a Goblin or a Worgen, you can get a WoW signature.
Nice. You
actually have an icon. And we also updated the LOTRO signatures with Rise of Isengard stats.
Awesome. So they changed?
They did. They switched over some of the stats to things like crit mitigation, and I think they combined like ranged crit and melee crit and like spell crit into just crit.
Yeah.
I think. Don't quote me on that.
That makes it easier to really keep track of too as a player. So.
Yeah, it does.
Anything else?
Those are the major things. But as usual, we always have more interesting stuff coming down the pipeline.
Cool.
So.
Well, we look forward to hearing more from you on what's happened in the Guild Launch.
Yep. And I, as always, am here to support that thing.
All right, so the last thing we want to discuss... The last really important thing that we need to discuss.
The many things that we still need to discuss
amongst
are...
our many weapons. We're going to be doing some migrations later this year, or later in the next couple of months. We don't have a solid date yet.
We're probably going to be migrating in the spring.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like.
It's a good time for migration.
That's right. Spring cleaning, if you will. So, one of the things we're going to be doing is migrating our Ventrilo servers to some new servers. The hardware will just be better all around and provide you with lower ping rates, faster connections, and just an overall better experience. And we're getting a new control panel. We've heard some feedback, and we're working on integrating the voice CP control panel with the billing system now.
Yeah.
So we'll see where that goes.
Yep. And I haven't actually seen it yet, but it sounds like it sounds great.
Sounds exciting. So.
Yeah. In addition to the Ventrilo migrations, we're going to be moving to just to improve servers in general, which again is it's going to be a performance increase. It's going to make page loads a little faster. It's going to make things run a little bit smoother. And that's also going to be in probably late spring.
Yep.
Again, we don't have definitive dates set up, but we will keep you informed on Facebook and Twitter and our podcasts, support forums.
Everywhere we have access.
Yes. We will blast it out amongst all the nations.
That's right. And in addition to what Slater was just talking about with our hosting server migration, there is going to be some changes to anyone who uses full domains. So if you have a full domain, keep your ears on the podcast, keep your eyes on the support forums and Twitter and wherever we do announcements. As we get closer, we'll have more definitive dates. We'll send out emails. We'll let everybody know what's going on and how to handle it. But we expect this to be as painless as possible and hopefully fast, depending. So data moving is never it's never as fast as you want it. Especially for us, because we've been around for so long. So.
Exactly. We have so much data now from all the guild sites.
That's right. So stay tuned for more info on that. We'll certainly have more definitive data there, and we will inform everyone once we have stuff we can really work with.
Sounds good.
And the second, the last thing, the real last thing that we need to talk about is that the walls in our office are bleeding.
What? They're not bleeding, but they're missing.
Oh. Okay.
We're doing an expansion, and so we're getting more space in the office, and as of, I think, yesterday morning, Wednesday morning, they cut out the walls to the expansion, and they cut out some of the walls that were in here, so now we have this giant, wide, open space that we've never had before.
Yeah.
And it's just, I walked in yesterday and just looked out and went, what? And the door was off, too, which was...
yeah.
Which was interesting. They switched the door around so it would open up into this wide open space and not point directly at my office.
Yeah.
Which I'm also losing. I get a window now.
Yay!
So
you level it up.
Level up. Support tech 2. And so I get a window. I think I'm going to get a plant.
Cool.
And I'm still going to be right by the coffee machine, which is going to be awesome. So I can pester our development team as they walk by.
That's right.
Like, so, I notice you're getting coffee. What do you think about this? Slater, leave me alone.
The door being backwards confuses me more than the open space. Like, the door, you walked in, when you're coming into the office, the door handle used to be on the right-hand side of the door, and now they flipped it, so it's on the left-hand side of the door.
Yeah, well, I've only been here for 4 months. You've been here what?
Well, we've been in this building for, I think, 3.5 years.
Yeah, so, I mean, you've probably gotten so used to that door handle being...
yeah. Well, it's like the muscle memory. Like, it feels right because I use my right hand leaving to reach my right hand across my body and grab the door and then open it up. And now I go to reach and I'm like, oh, this feels so awkward. And then I open with my right hand. I got to switch arms and this.
I'm going to laugh whenever you do that. And you have that look on your face like, what's going on? I don't understand.
I need an adult. I need an adult.
But I think that's all we've got for today.
That's it. So you guys enjoy the rest of your week. I guess the next 2 weeks when we talk to you again.
And get out there and slay more dragons.